think for a sec and think something. Who can name something that we don't know? All right, Esther. What heaven is like, how good heaven is. Charlie? How much time we have? Yep. How long we have to live? Yes. Why people rebel against God? Good. Anybody else? Got several of them. Why bad things happen sometimes? There's several things. And good. You remember a pretty good amount. So we're doing another one tonight. And this one, I was laughing as I got so many passages of scripture and lengthy ones. And but so many of them repeat themselves with just a little bit of difference. But it's something that's important. Obviously, if God says the same thing 8 or 10 or 12 times, then he wants you to get it. And things we don't know, when Jesus will come. When Jesus will come. And Matthew 24 is where I'm going to start. When Jesus will come. I was talking to someone in the last year, in another state, and they got it all figured out. They said, well, this is Jesus going to come right at this point, not a date, but a. And I said, well, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. And the Bible says, you know, you don't know when he's coming. He says, well, I do. Just laughed. He said, I don't understand. You know, Harold Camping, he predicts over and over Jesus coming back on this date. And I just laugh. I say, how do you, when God says it so many times, why don't people get that? I don't understand work salvation, but I don't understand this more. It's just kind of funny. And we'll read it a bunch of different times. The funny thing is, I'll be making a different point and reading on something else, but in the middle of that, he's going to say, by the way, you don't know when I'm coming, even though it won't be the point, you know, and because he just says it so many times, Matthew 24 and verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven. The angels don't know, but a lot of people do, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered the house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's our starting passage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your clarity on this. And I pray we'd understand it and see it. And Lord, really, get what you have for us, Father. Your word's wonderful and your word's pure. We want to rightly teach it, Lord, and I pray you'd help us. On a somewhat controversial subject, Father, I pray you'd just help us to see in clarity what you say on this subject. And may you speak to us. May we just understand what your thinking is on this subject. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a guy when I was at the camp that I got saved at, and it wasn't a camp with our church. It was with and I wasn't really going to church much yet. It was a Church of Christ camp, and Church of Christ are nice folks, but they believe that some people believe you have to pray a prayer to be saved. They believe you have to be baptized to be saved. Many of them are saved. They're not trusting their baptism. They think that's the way you get saved, and is by being baptized. That's saying yes to Jesus. And anyway, the debate kept going back and forth. People debated all the time, like Christians waste a lot of time doing. And they were debating whether you had to be baptized to go to heaven. And that guy I know, and I still know him today, he had a strange clarity in his spiritual life. Very really, really amazing at that point in his life, how clear he saw things. And they were debating back and forth. What about the thief on the cross? What if you died before you got baptized? And they were just going back and forth. And the guy said an amazing statement. He said, you know, God says to get baptized. So if you do get saved and baptized, you're safe either way. And you've obeyed God. And I thought that was just kind of a funny thing, and just the clarity of it. And that same person, with the kind of the way he just saw things real simply and clear, he said, as Christians were sitting around and debating the rapture and all the different times, he just said, you know what? None of you really know, right? And I think a lot of times wasted on debating. And the subject I'm going to is not, I am not preaching when the rapture is going to happen. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your attitude toward Jesus coming back. And there's a big difference there. Because I don't think the debate that people have, I don't think that's actually the way God refers to it. I think the debate, pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, all-millennial, all those things, the way people debate that is not the way the Bible talks about it. That's man's theology debate. And I could get in a lot of things. I think theology, when you begin to, because you force the Bible into your terms. And you try to make it say, this is the way that God, and God doesn't phrase it that way. And that's not that really, and that's not what we're talking about tonight, is pre-trib, post-trib. No man, just a few points here on this, just obvious points. Number one, no man knows the day. Okay, we're going to read that a bunch of times. A lot of times. No man knows the day. But verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. And so nobody knows the day. Number two, it is not when you think it is. That's a funny point to me. It's not when you think it is. Whenever you got to figure it out, understand, you just told me that's not when it is. Because it's not, he says that, verse 44. Be therefore also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's such a funny verse to me. It's like, darn. You know, why do I keep on saying, you know? He says, when you don't think he's coming, he's coming. Verse 50. I always laugh at that. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Now, that's a wicked servant there, but the passage before wasn't. And we see that. So he's coming when you don't think. And we see that. Now, main points I want to get to. Number one, we don't know when Jesus will come. Okay, we just read that. We'll read it again. I read a verse that said that. We'll read that a bunch more times, but it won't be the point of what we're reading. We're reading on a different point. He's just going to say it a lot of times. And you'll see that. Number one, we don't know when Jesus will come. Number two, therefore, we should also always be ready. Boy, I feel like I just said something really simple. That's really simple to me. 1 John 2:18. I'll read that to you, then we'll read a bunch of passages. That is God's theme. That's not man's theme. And one of the things I was reading when I was just studying for this is fascinating, is a man said a great statement in what I was reading. He said, prophecy is not for knowledge, it's for action. And that's, I think that's a good statement. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 18. It says this, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. I'm reading the wrong verse. What did I write? 2:18. I think it's, I'm going to find it in a sec. Verse 28, sorry. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All right? We should be ready. How are we ready? The most common word, I don't know how many times we're going to read, is the word watch. Okay? I can't tell you how many times. Turn to Mark 13. We're going to see this word. We just read it several times already, but we're going to read this word watch a whole bunch of times. There is nothing mystical about the word watch. It's just like you and I would use the word watch. It's the same Greek word. It's watch. And it just means watch for something. And it's not more complicated. Mark 13, verse 32. Tell me if you see the word watch here. Verse 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son. Some people know more than Jesus, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. We'll get that the last point. And he commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Oh, are you seeing these same phrases over and over and over again? You don't know. Watch. You don't know who's coming. Again, same things. And I'm not going to get too repetitive on that, but it's going to repeat itself. At even or at midnight or in the cock crowing or even in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So there's our word, watch. The way he illustrates it is watching for a thief. We just read that a minute ago, but let me take you to a different passage, Luke 12. Watching for a thief coming to your house at night. And paying attention. And Luke chapter 12. And 39 and 40. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known one hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to have been broken through. Be therefore ready also. Remember, we're talking about watch and be ready. Be ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, somewhere along the way, you're going to think I'm reading the same passages. I'm not reading the same passages at all. He's just really consistent. He just makes sure he makes the same point every time. You do not know, no man knows, so be ready. Like a man watching for a thief in the night. Imagine if you got a letter in the mail and police said, you know, tonight we've got secret information. You're going to have somebody break in your house tonight and try to rob your house. Well, you'd be pretty alert. You'd be paying attention. Now, you don't know what hour he's coming. But, you know, I'd be up from midnight till, you know, daytime and paying good attention. And so it's like watching for a thief. He illustrates it in that way. Some thoughts underneath watch. Number one, some will be somewhat aware of when he's coming. Okay? They won't know exactly, but they can kind of see it's coming. 1 Thessalonians 5. You can be somewhat aware. There are people who will be watching carefully, and there will be some that are somewhat aware. Say, you know, it's looking like time for the baby to be born, you know, and looking like time for the sun to rise, you know, and there's certain signs of the times. And they'll have somewhat of an idea. 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times, and the passage before in chapter 4 is talking about the rapture, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:1, and now 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall so come as a thief in the night. For they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman and a child, but they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So there's some people, you know, in the last days perilous time shall come. There's some people who can kind of see. And it's not going to surprise us. We're supposed to be watching. Okay? And so, you know, I pay attention to several things that I think are prophetic that kind of gives the idea, Israel especially. But there's several things, the state of society and the church and things like that. I think we can see things coming. And, you know, America has had ebbs and flows, but it started out very immoral. It is nosediving right now. Fast. It's amazing. By the day. It's never, and I am not a person who uses a lot of hyperbole and exaggerates and says, I never in the 80s and 90s was preaching, we're almost done as a nation. I never thought that. Now, and I don't think we're about done as a nation, I just think that we're skiing down the hill real fast right now. And so, you know, and I'm not saying America is that important about prophecy, okay? I am saying you can see things happening. And so you're watching, you're paying attention. It doesn't mean you know the day or the hour exactly, but there come a point where people who are watching are going to say, you know what? We better be. You know, if I were you, I'd set your house in order right now. And I don't know if he's coming next week, the wise Christian will say. I don't know if he's coming in a month. I don't know if he's coming in a year. But you know what? I'm watching. I'm now we're always supposed to be ready. But you always lock your doors, right? But if you know, but then sometimes you might know a thief is coming, and so number one, some will be somewhat aware. Number two, some will be living it up, secure, and then destroyed. Let's look at verse 3 here in this chapter, then we'll turn to some other ones. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Let me make a point here, and I'm not preaching on when the rapture is going to happen, because I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't see it that clearly. I just don't. And everybody does who has their position. I can kind of see what they're saying, but I just don't see it that clearly. I see that I don't know. But I do not think it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. I do not think it's going to happen at the middle day of the tribulation. Because if it's the middle day of the tribulation, we know the day. It numbers the days in Daniel. You know, gives you the exact number of days. So I don't think it'll happen the exact middle day of the tribulation, the rapture. I don't think it'll happen at the end of the tribulation because we're going to read passages, including this passage, where people feel very secure when Jesus comes. Nobody's going to be feeling very secure at the end of the tribulation. Okay. Go back to Matthew 24. I was going to say this too. Those are just things that seem apparent to me. And I think that because there are people who are very secure and think everything's just fine. And so let's see. Matthew 24. People are going to be living it up and very secure, then be destroyed. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall it come into the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, while they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until a flood came and took them all away. When you read Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you're not seeing people living like that at all. They aren't securing, giving themselves in marriage and making merry. They are dying and being tortured and stung, and the water's turning to blood, and they're starving, and earthquakes and meteors, and it's not a secure time. But there are people, when Jesus comes, I think at the rapture, that's one reason also I think the rapture is a separate event from Jesus physically coming, because it says when he comes, people will be very secure and making fun, and I do think he comes back at Armageddon, and it's not a pretty sight when he comes to earth, because the earth is messed up with Armageddon already. Luke 21. That's not what I'm teaching on, but just want to mention that. Luke 21. You don't know. I don't know. That's why when somebody said that to me, I said, well, really, no man knows the hour of the day. And they said, well, I know. And I started laughing at him. I just laughed. I just said, did you just hear yourself? Jesus says nobody knows. You just said you know. Who should I believe? And it's so funny. And no matter what, the Christians, I don't know what the deal is. It's just funny. They got it all figured out. It's funny on ethereal things that they don't have to prove they know. They know everything. On real life things, they haven't got a clue. Ask them how to raise their kids. Ask them how to have victory over sin in their lives. Like, oh, I'm not sure. But ask them when the raptures happen. They got it down. And and it's funny when people... We got to think we got it all, you know. Luke 21, but I got a funny sense of humor, and I laugh at a lot of things. Luke 21 and verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest ye at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. You want to know what that word means? Overeating. Okay, so next point. And drunkenness and cares of this world, cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall come upon all that dwell upon the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. And again, we can go on. But a lot of people be eating, overeating, messing around, you know, being bad. Let's go to Revelation 3. Again, this point is some people will be living it up secure when he comes back. Some people will see it coming. Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So you better get it right and do that. Now let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 24 and 25 are the prophetic chapters where Jesus is teaching, the Olivet Discourse, of course. And Matthew 25, I'm debating whether I should read the whole parable, and I think I will instead of telling this story. Verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about salvation. Okay. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So 5 are saved, 5 are not. At midnight, there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. But go ye rather unto them and sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So you see, some people aren't ready. First thing to be ready is to be saved. That's the first thing to be ready. But also, he said, talking to the Christians in 1 John, you know, abide in him. I mean, be close to Christ. And so some people won't be ready and some will be ready. So he said unto him, be watched. Some will be somewhat aware. Some will be living it up secure and then destroyed. And then thirdly, and this is the most important thing, is be busy doing his business. Be busy doing his business. Let me take you to Luke 19. I already read that passage in Mark 13. But as you're passing there to Luke, I'm going to read it. It says, he gave authority to servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. So they had their work to do. Luke 19. Luke 19 and verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, if you follow the rest of this passage all the way to the end, you're going to find out he's talking about him returning in the end times, and we'll get a little bit into it. Occupy is the key word, till I come, and he gave him something to be occupied with. And we'll get back to that. But the servants hated him, his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received his kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him who had given them money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Word occupy, important word. The word occupy means to go into business and trade. Okay? Get busy. Take what I've given you and use it and make it productive. And so working, and they weren't, some of them weren't ready. They weren't doing anything with what they had, okay? And some did great investment with what they were given, and the master came back. Go back to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. And it says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if in that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. How many times is he going to say that? This is a new passage we haven't read yet. When he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder and appoint him portions of the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And so you see that again, there's the same passage. He is doing what he's supposed to be doing when his Lord comes. Again, like it says. So, Pastor, when do you think the rapture is going to happen? Don't know. Might happen tonight. That boy, I'm preaching on it. You know what I want to be doing? The will of God. Amen. What if all of a sudden, Pastor, if the peace treaty is signed with Israel according to Daniel 9:27, and that's when the tribulation starts, and you're still here? Probably keep on about doing what I'm doing. Trying to win souls, reach the world, make a difference. Yeah, I have some food set aside, and I have, you know, some things to, you know, for hard times, stuff like that. But I have that because I'm on earth. And, you know, I don't have any mountain falling on me protection program. You know, or meteor hitting my house, you know. I mean, you know, the Wormwood shelter ain't gonna work. You know, I mean, some of the things we're protected from, we have, you know, some of the plagues won't get us, but a lot of them, hey, there's going to be an earthquake going to move every mountain and every island out of its place. I'm not sure my house is going to hold up in that. So what do? I stay close to God. Would a pastor, and you know what? Would I be devastated? No. He told me I didn't know when he's coming. What if all of a sudden you get the middle of tribulation and you see the abomination and desolation and the rapture hasn't happened yet? I'll say, oh boy, it's going to get bad. And I'll be busy for Jesus. What happens if Armageddon's about to happen and you're still not raptured? I'll be surprised. You know what I'll do? Just keep living for Jesus. Same as I'll do today. Because the whole teaching is, you don't know when he's coming, so be ready. Look at, watch this in Acts chapter 1. We'll finish up there. That's just the way I see it. The whole purpose of Jesus saying he's coming a million times, not literally, but a lot of times, he says, you don't know when I'm coming. Watch and be ready, because I'm going to come when you don't expect it. And no matter when he comes, I know I'm going to say this. I didn't think you're coming right now. You know my luck. I'm going to be perfect for next 10 years and 10.0001 years, I'm going to slack off for one day and he's coming back that day. You know, it's going to happen. I mean, I'm going to skip church one Sunday. You know, I'm not, you know, see what they do if I don't show up. I'm going to sleep in, watch a football game, and Jesus is coming back that Sunday. That's what's going to happen. And you know, my job is just be ready. I don't know when when he comes back, he's going to surprise me. So I might, again, you and I might see, yeah, look at that. Boy, there's a big leader coming out of Europe, and boy, he's talking to Israel, and they're talking about a 7-year peace treaty. You know, but Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come, and by the way, how many times did Jesus just tell the disciples, and by the way, I didn't read every passage, how many times they were just told they're not going to know when? I don't know how many times. Watch this. Verse 6, Acts 1, 6. When they therefore were come together, this is after the resurrection, Jesus is ascending into heaven, they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father hath put his power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Guess what, guys? You're not going to know about this stuff. It's not for you to know the times and seasons. Did God just say it's not for us to know the times or seasons? Can you please tell a bunch of prophecy experts that know all this stuff that? It is not for you to know the times and seasons. You know what you need to know? The Holy Spirit's coming, and you go witness. That's what you need to know. That's what he says. I hope when a bunch of Christians are standing around debating, this would be my joy. This would be the best rapture spot for me. Five Christians are standing around debating pre, mid, trib, post trib, mid trib, post toasties, and you know, pre wrath, and everything else they're debating. And I'm standing 30 steps from them, winning somebody to Christ. And Jesus comes back. And boy, on the way up, I'm going to, before I lose my fallen nature, taunt them. On the way up. And then make an exclamation point. They're supposed to be busy for Jesus. He says, go win the world to Christ. Be busy. You don't know when I'm coming. It's not for you to know. Just get busy. You don't know. Just get busy. For me. Jesus ascends up into heaven and they go, wow. And he disappears in the clouds and they just stand there. Wow. And the angel walks out and says, Hey, you guys, what are you doing? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who just ascended up into heaven, so show come in like manner. Get back and pray. You need the Holy Ghost so you can go witnessing. Quit. Verse 11. He said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, he's coming back. You better be ready. Get busy. Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives and began to pray again. And the power of the Spirit came. And from then on, they weren't standing there going, when's he coming? They were out there going, When he comes, let's be busy. So what don't we know? That's an easy one. We don't know when he's coming. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again. And so we don't know. Now, you didn't get your money's worth today because you've read that a lot of times. Because it just says it. I mean, it just says we don't know that. But I just know this. I'll let the experts figure it out. I'm going to be doing God's will while they're figuring it out when he's coming. He might come back tonight. Might come back. Somebody, ready for some, a little logic here? This is going to take deep thinking. Ready? Somebody, a whole bunch of people are going to be asleep when he comes back. What if he comes at noon? It's not noon everywhere. So I want to be sleeping that night if he comes back at noon in the east somewhere. And I can't figure out, trust me, I travel all the time. I still don't understand the time zones, especially when I cross the international timeline. We're going to be leaving at 7:30 in the morning and going on about 19 hours of flights to get back. And we're going to get there at 8:30 in the morning. I don't understand it. I just know it's a different. I've called people in the middle of the night before on the field. I hear this. Hello? I got the wrong number. Click. Oops. And let me do my math again. And but, you know, somebody's going to be asleep. I just hope when you lay your head down, you say, if Jesus comes back tonight, I did what God wanted me to do. Or if it's daytime, you're busy about your Father's business. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you just tell us we don't know. It's not for us to know the times of season. It's for us to go be busy about our Father's business and ready. Ready with our lamps full of oil. And Lord, there's a lot of passages and some we didn't go to, Lord. But I just pray that we would know that we don't know in this area. And Lord, I pray to be okay with that. Because that's what you told us would be like. And help us, Lord, to be ready. And Lord, you deserve us every second of every day to be ready. And help us to be so. Help if there's something right now, even in this room, some one of us who maybe is not ready for you to come back once a week, once a day, once an hour to get right. I pray tonight we wouldn't leave tonight not ready for you because we don't know. Let alone, Father, even if what I just taught wasn't even in the Bible. What is our life? Is even as a vapor. We might die tonight. Lord, I just pray we'd be always ready and not be ashamed before you at your coming. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe just with that.